another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Document Management for Accountants to Go is a monthly discussion with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and Document Management Expert John Higgins.
Hi, this is Greg LaFollette, Intersection Live. Welcome to the inaugural episode number one of our latest recurring monthly podcast, Document Management for Accountants to Go. As you know, we have a here at the CPA Technology Advisor under our Intersection Live series of podcasts. We have just that now, a whole series. This is actually the fourth in our process. We have Tech to Go, which is kind of the granddaddy of all of them, over a year old now, and thousands of listeners and lots of real fun with that process. And we record that every month, and Tech to Go has become quite popular and lots of fun. I do that with my friends Randy Johnson, Brent Goodfellow, and Dave McClure, and you're certainly encourage you to pop over there and listen in on that. Then last fall we launched our second in the series of the To Go podcasts, and that's Small Business Consulting To Go. We're now I think recording episode 5 or 6 of that with the nation's leading consultant in the small business consulting world, Doug Sleater, and of the Sleater Group and of QuickBooks fame. Doug has certainly taken that organization and expanded it to far beyond just QuickBooks, including Peachtree and Microsoft Office Accounting, and runs the what's now become the premier user conference for that group of people. I spoke at that conference along with Randy, as a matter of fact, again last fall, and Doug's conference was larger than the Thompson conference and larger than the CCH conference. He had 800 and some people out there in Las Vegas, so there's certainly a need and a lot of interest in that area. Late last fall, in December, as a matter of fact, I guess that's part of fall and part of winter, along with Dave Cieslak, and David is a CITP and a GSEC, a very high-end security guy, chairs the AICPA Information Technology Executive Committee and has chaired the IT or the tech conference for several years, chairs the top 10 technologies task force, and just been around, does a lot of things for the profession in addition to running his own practice. And he's my guest with Accounting Firm Security To Go, and there's no one in the country that knows Accounting Firm Security like Dave Cieslak. And so those are our three: Tech To Go, Small Business Consulting To Go, and Accounting Firm Security To Go. Today joined by a fourth sibling, a little brother. My guess is it will not be little for long. It will grow very, very rapidly. Document Management for Accounting for Accountants To Go. And as I looked and talked to people around the country, you know, I did 35 or 36 presentations last year to accountants all over the country, and it seemed to me that more and more and more of our questions came in this whole area of document management. For a while, it looked like this was just a, you know, buy a program and, you know, poof, you're paperless, and that was obviously not true. We kept getting letters to the editor asking different things, different parts of document management, and we just realized that it was bigger and bigger and more important and such an integral part of the practice of public accounting that last summer I began to visit with some of the consultants around the country who worked in the document management area, and I said to them, how can we come up with a way that that we can make a computerized process to take all of your knowledge, and I'm saying this to all of these consultants, how can we come up with a way where we can take all of your deep domain knowledge and computerize it? We built, along with my guest's help, my guest today, along with his help, we built a process, a product, a service called the Document Management Selector that's available on the magazine website, so cpata.com. Right there in the center, it says Document Management Selector, and we put it out there, and we ask 25 or 30 questions of a firm. It's free. It's anonymous. We ask you what kinds of things you do, and at the end of that, we take all that information, and through the algorithms that we built, we give people recommendations and say, you know, here are at least three products that we think you ought to take a look at, because there's more like 30 of them out there. A lot of interest on the part of vendors in this area. And our tool, the Document Management Selector, goes out and tries to kind of synthesize all of the stuff that all of the nation's leading experts have and put that together in a form, in a report. So we launched that quietly back in November, and I've been amazed at its popularity and the number of accounting firms that have sat down and completed that. I get notes back virtually every week. I get letters and phone calls and emails from firms that have completed that and say, boy, you know, it finally got me going. It finally got me off the dime. I finally understand a couple of these things. I couldn't look at 30 products, but boy, I can look at three. And those are really the important things. So once we realized that was as popular as it was, we kind of sat down and said, gee, maybe we ought to do a podcast and kind of talk about all of those kinds of things, kind of the role of document management in accounting and tax practice, from a 30,000 foot view, and talk about evaluation and what the market is and all the different products. I get a lot of questions from accountants about scanning. In fact, we've got a question today that we'll handle a little later about a specific scanner. There's things like workflow and portals, and we could do podcasts every day just around the use of Adobe and some of the add-ins and things. So there's certainly lots of content here and lots of different things that we need to be talking about if we're going to be practicing public accounting in the 21st century. So as we looked at how we do our Intersection Live series, what we've done is gone out and found the country's best consultants, the leading people out there, and we certainly have been able to do that in this area. I'm very, very pleased and very happy to introduce to you John Higgins. John is a longtime friend. I first met John when I moved to Michigan back in 1999 to join Thompson, and John and his partner Brian Smith came out to my office in Dexter, and we had a nice visit about some of the things that they were doing and some of the things that we were doing, and I've grown to know and appreciate and respect John Higgins a lot. He's certainly, in my opinion, and the opinion and widely shared opinion, I might add, the nation's foremost expert in the area of document management for accountants. And he is a CPA and a CITP, and I'll thank him specifically for that. He has written the reviews. He's our reviewer at the CPA Technology Advisor for document management products, document storage, document management for the last several years. A great speaker. I've watched him presented with him. He's done webcasts with me. Just a great guy all around. I was privilege just last week to have dinner with John out in Las Vegas at while we were both there for CES. And so with that little bit of background, I want to welcome John Higgins to Document Management for Accounting to Go. Welcome, John.
Well, thanks, Greg. It's great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of these podcasts, and I think we're going to have some really worthwhile information to share with the practitioners that join in and have a listen to what we have to say. So I appreciate the opportunity.
It's going to be fun, and I've kind of watched you talk about this paperless thing, and you know, I first heard that phrase about 35 years ago when I first came into public accounting, and I've been waiting for that and flying cars. And I think I'm going to see paperless first because I'm seeing it in more and more firms. You've been talking about this for a long time. Now, you came out of you were in one of the super firms, right? Who were you with?
Yes, I was a partner with BDO Steedman. Left there back in 2000.
All right, and so that's when you and I first met, when you decided that you formed this group called CPA Crossings and went out and said, you know, we're just going to go help small and medium-sized accounting firms figure out technology as a whole, and that very quickly became, well, not exclusively, an awful lot of the stuff that you do is kind of around document management. Is that because document management is so central, or are there other things that you just don't touch at all?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the button there, Greg. It's, you know, when firms want to go paperless, the first thing they typically want to do is understand better what that really means. And as they learn what it takes to try to go and achieve that paperless objective, it is exactly the case where the document management system is so foundational and pervasive throughout the firm as a core application to get towards that paperless objective. So that's why in our work at CPA Crossings, we really evolved more and more into that area, because that's where the demand is in terms of what firms are looking for help with.
Now, and I know you're in the Metro Detroit area, and you obviously have clients in the Metro Detroit area, but I've run into both you and to your partner Brian Smith in random airports. So I know you spend a lot of time on the road. You got clients pretty much all over the country, right?
Yes, exactly, and that's part of the exciting aspect of what we do, because we get a chance to work with firms, as you say, different parts of the country, but also firms of different cultures, different sizes, and I really enjoy that variety and learn a bunch with every firm that we work with. We really get a chance to learn about how they approach their business model and, you know, do our best to help them achieve their objectives relative to the use of the technology. So it makes it very interesting.
Sure. Well, let's, John, let's kind of expand that just a little bit. As we started talking about this podcast several months ago, and again, I appreciate your willingness to take this on, because I know it's a big commitment in a time schedule that probably doesn't have a lot of open holes in it. As we started talking about this, we very quickly decided that there was plenty of content. That would not be a difficult thing to do. But at the top of this thing is kind of the whole idea of where the document management function, or some cases document storage. That's a whole program right there, the difference between those two, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But kind of where does this thing is kind of central. We touched on this just a second ago. So where does the digital world, or the paperless world, where does that fit in today's tax and accounting practice? It's not just something you go buy and then check it off, right?
Yeah, that's correct, although that's the approach that some practitioners have taken, and they you know, come to realize that maybe they should have spent a little more time learning about what document management truly can offer them, and therefore better position them to evaluate different solutions. You know, when you look at the office, and for our listeners, if you just think about your office environment and look around and see where are all the different places where you have paper documents storing or laying around. They may be in archived back in your file room. They may be near your desk in a credenza or a file cabinet. Or if it's really busy season, you probably have folders stacked up on your credenza and on your floor and on your desk, and that's your paper filing system for many of us. And so if you think about that environment, the concept of the document management system is to say, okay, first of all, we need to convert all this into electronic format, and then secondly, we need to then be able to have a good tool to manage the retrieval of that information electronically and be able to view our documents, make annotations, just like you would pick up a pencil and make notes on the paper today. Sure. That's a function of the document management system, to be able to do those kinds of things electronically. So if you look at it from a kind of a big picture perspective, and certainly every office is different, but there's kind of typically four basic categories that you can divide your office into. On the one hand, you have your tax practice, which I know many of our listeners, you know, have either exclusively a tax practice or it's a big part of what they do.
Right.
And so we can talk a little bit about how document fits in that area specifically, document management. Then you have, in some cases, you have accounting services and potentially audit services. And so the application of the document management system, or DMS is the acronym that's used to refer to those, it's used a little bit differently in the audit and accounting services area. And then you have maybe a third kind of a catch-all category, we'll call it specialized services, whether you do technology consulting or investment advisory services or business valuations. Those are kind of a catch-all category, and the way you use document management system in those services is going to be a little bit different yet. And then kind of closing the circle, if you will, is the fourth piece, which is your office or practice administration. So the way you use the document management system to store and organize all the files that you work with just to manage your business are handled a little bit differently still. So you have kind of those four big categories, the tax area, the accounting and audit services, the various specialized type services, and then your office administration.
Okay, so John, one of the things you talked about was looking at this big pile of paper. I get this question all the time, and a lot of, actually, I think a lot of practitioners use it as a red herring. I can't go paperless because I've got, you know, 40 file cabinets full of documents, and I can't possibly scan them all. Is there is room for people to simply, quit digging the hole and go paperless from today forward? Just don't make your paper any worse. And there's an argument that says just keep all your paper for now, and you'll, you know, as you clean that out over the years, it may take 10 or 15 years, but you'll be rid of everything, and you won't be creating any new. Is that a logical solution at all?
Very much so, Greg. You know, if you look at the typical tax and accounting professional, all of us are busy. We've got typically more work than we can handle, and the key there is to make sure we're spending our time doing the right things. So when you think about your documents that are already archived in a paper format, you just got to look at that and say, okay, what is really the value of going through the process of converting that to electronic format and, you know, entering the index values and all the steps that are involved, just so that in the future you can retrieve that document electronically. And if you think about it, in most firms, once you get past 1 year out, there's not a lot of retrieval that typically takes place. So, yeah, you're exactly right that there's generally not a lot of value in spending your time to going back and looking at the past. Where your better time is better spent is focusing on, okay, what's the right kind of system to get for my operation? And then, as importantly, is implementing it effectively so you're getting full benefit going forward. And so you can make the use of your time just that much more effective, because that's what it comes down to in the end, is optimizing the use of your time and your productivity. So
sure.
Looking forward is the better approach, absolutely.
Right. So when you go into a firm and begin talking to them about document management, you find is the biggest problem is this a technology problem, or is it a personnel problem, or a process problem?
Well, it's actually, you know, all three pieces come into play, and
sure.
And actually, depending upon the firm you're talking with, one of those three ingredients can be the primary source of challenges. But in the big picture, you have to deal with all three. And probably the biggest challenge that we typically run into is it can be a significant change in the way that you process your work. And, you know, those of us who have been in the profession doing tax and accounting work for, you know, a number of years, it's change is not easy. And so getting used to taking advantage of the technologies that are available today, it can be a challenge. But the good news is that if you really understand the benefit that this technology can bring to your firm, then it makes it a whole lot easier to learn how to adapt to the new system and take full advantage of it. That's where the benefit is.
So, John, one of the things I hear from practitioners, and remember, for all of the listeners out there, I want all of you to understand what the face of public accounting in America looks like. I was visiting with a young man this morning in a firm out in Boston, and he said, we're just a small firm. There's about we're growing a lot. We're just a small firm. There were 30 of us 3 years ago. Now there are about 100 of us. And I said, you're not a small firm at all. There's 90% of the firms in America are 10 or fewer people. So all of you who are saying I'm a very small firm, you know, first of all, you're probably not as small as you think. And for the rest of you who are in those five and under, you are the face of public accounting. So when I'm out speaking and I talk to public accounting and people are practicing, and they say to me, we're just a small firm, we can't afford to do, you know, to have that fancy paperless stuff. Do you think, John, that it's more difficult for a large firm or a small firm to, quote, become paperless?
Well, I think that's a great question, Greg. I think that in terms of the upfront work that needs to be done to plan and research solutions and pick the best solution for your firm, that tends to be an easier task for the bigger firms simply because they usually have, you know, managerial and administrative resources who can help with that whole process. But when it comes to actually implementing and taking advantage of the system, it can actually be quite a bit easier for the smaller firm because you can make decisions on the spot and you don't have to call a committee meeting to decide if that's the right decision. You just get the three or four people that work with you and say, hey, let's talk this over at lunch, make sure we're doing the right things and maybe make some adjustments to your plan, and then you implement after lunch.
Sure.
So that is a real advantage for the small firm.
Sure.
And to the question or to the point that we hear, and I hear it as well, Greg, is, you know, we're a small firm, we really can't afford to do this. My objective then would be to educate you on why you can't afford not to do it.
Well, that's probably true, and I absolutely agree with your analysis of the ease of trying to get everybody together. You know, your implementation cost is usually the cost of what you had to tip the Domino's kid, because you know, you buy a pizza and you make a plan, and it's about that simple. On the other hand, money is always an issue, and you know, I'm acutely aware of the dollars in the smaller firm, because every dollar that practitioner spends is a dollar that can't go home to buy milk and drapes, and those are important dollars when they come back out of your wallet. Which isn't to say that that's not what happens in the larger firm, but you're separated from it a little bit more, and it doesn't seem quite as real.
Yeah, that's a good point. It definitely is easier to separate the larger firms from their money in those kinds of projects for the reasons that you mentioned. But part of the challenge is to really develop your understanding for our listeners of what truly is the value of taking on a particular initiative like document management solution. It's not just what is the cost to my business to do this. What is the benefit I'm going to get? And, you know, I've got, I think, a good example of, you know, where there's some real value. We had a small firm in northern Michigan called me up, that was about a year ago this fall, And, you know, they say, yeah, we want, John, we want to learn, do something about this paperless. And they're a very small firm. I think they have maybe less than 10 people total. But they had one of their senior people who wanted to retire. He did retire. And what he does is he takes his big old travel trailer and drives it down to, I think, Brownsville, Texas. And he lives down there in the winter in a mobile home park or a trailer park.
Sure.
And he has satellite hookup with his internet. And so they wanted to keep his knowledge, keep it, taking advantage of his knowledge to help them in busy season to do tax returns. You know, certainly clients he's worked on for many years. But it was very problematic to just fax back documents back and forth or FedEx documents back and forth. So last tax season, beginning last tax season, they implemented a document management system, and that allowed them to get all their documentation in electronic format, and then that gave them the primary benefit of all this, which is anytime, anywhere, access to the information. So now they're starting their second season here, obviously, and they loved it last year because he could just log in from his trailer. He had a nice little office set up in his trailer, believe it or not, and it was one of those fifth wheels, they call them.
Sure.
And so he's doing tax returns for them from the comfort of his travel trailer down there in Texas, and they just, you know, he'll file the prepare the return electronically with the supporting documents. Just a little bit of background, the supporting documents come into the firm in northern Michigan from their local clients. They scan them in, so the semi-retired partner now down in Texas will view them on the screen, fill out the tax return on the tax software, and then the electronic version of the tax software is available for the folks here in northern Michigan. So that's just kind of a, you know, thumbnail sketch of how that can be very valuable. So think about the cost to that firm if he was not able to continue doing tax returns. They would have lost that knowledge base and that experienced tax preparer, and we all know how hard it is to find those kinds of people these days.
Right. So some of the things that we're going to be talking about as we move forward, John, are the bigger parts of this is, okay, well, first of all, we said we scanned it. So what kind of a scanner are we going to use? Now, we're not going to do that today, or at least not very much, but, you know, there's all kinds of different scanners, and they all have a different place and a different use. If there were one that were perfect for everybody, then there'd only be one, because that's the one we'd all buy, right?
That's
so
right.
We're going to spend time talking about in terms of models and brands and speeds and features and all of that. I got a lot of questions about that. We're going to talk, I'm sure, about dual monitors. You know, you have dual monitors. Do you have two monitors? Do you have three monitors? Can you do it with one big monitor? We're going to have conversations around that, I assume, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I've picked up my next monitor, Greg, by the way. When we were out at that consumer electronics show this week in Vegas,
uh-huh,
with you, I don't know if you had a chance to see that 105-inch flat panel screen.
Yeah, the 150-inch one.
A 50-inch, yeah.
Yeah, 150-inch Panasonic, right.
Yeah, so I just have to convince my wife that it's the right investment for our business here.
I'd have to buy it. I don't have a wall that's that big. that was quite the one. But I will tell you, I just as an aside, John, I just upgraded my double-site monitors in my home office from 17-inch monitors to 19-inch monitors, and boy, that 2 inches makes a huge difference. Those are really sweet. So we're gonna, we'll end up talking about things like that. We'll end up talking about all of these side benefits, like so, paperless, quote unquote, it's an absolute necessity to start doing these other things, like allowing your remote partner to work and spend the busy season in the warm down in Brownsville, but still do, because I think it's warmer in Brownsville than it is in the UP, isn't it?
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Okay. It's warmer almost everywhere than it is in the UP.
That's right.
But, you know, so those are benefits. There's things like portals and, you know, to share that kind of information with clients. Again, that's the document management is the underpinning to that whole thing, and there's a whole two or three shows, I'm sure, just around the whole portal issue. Workflow is another one. You're hearing workflow all the time. To really manage workflow, you got to be digital, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And yeah, I think one of the points I want to bring out here, Greg, is that as our listeners start to go about and searching and researching solutions for their own practice, you can get to a point where it can start to get fairly intimidating because the vendors want to talk about all the feature and functionality their systems have. We just realize, as you say, we're going to be doing a series of these, and so we're going to try to bring it to you in bite-sized pieces that are easy to swallow, and that also you don't have to try to do everything in one shot, in one tax season or one year. It's an evolutionary process, and you know, hopefully as we continue these podcasts, we'll give you some good insight into kind of what's the right sequence of steps to take and build a long-term strategy for your paperless office.
Right. Okay. Well, John, we're as I suspected, we're rapidly approaching the end of our time. I neglected to point out at the beginning, and I should have done this at the top. I apologize. As with all of our podcasts at the Intersection Live, we will do show notes for Document Management for Accountants to Go. We'll do a set of show notes. So anytime that that John or I or any of our guests or questions or callers or anything mention a specific product or a specific website or something like that, you don't have to scramble to go grab a pencil and try and write it down and then say, what the heck did he say? You can just go to our website, click on Intersection Live, take a look at DMA to Go, and look at the show notes, and there'll be a list there of all of those items. So remember that the show notes will be there. Secondly, if you would like to join us, and we do all of our podcasts live on TalkShoe.com. So you can go to TalkShoe and look at Intersection Live. It'll have all of the times and dates of our upcoming podcasts. There are too many of them now for me to tell you when all of them are, because it just starts kind of rattling them off. But if you're so inclined and you'd like to come and join us, grab yourself a free TalkShoe account, do a couple of clicks, and you can come and join us live. If you decide to log on and listen, you can actually dial in and ask us a question. In fact, we do have a listener on live right now, and I see he's raising his hand. So I'm gonna bring in our listener from Idaho, and he has a question. I think let me bring in our guest here, and well, this will be a test of our technology and see if we can do that. Who's calling, please?
This is David Smith in Idaho.
Well, hi, David. Welcome to Document Management for Accountants.
Thanks, Greg.
You're listening in. You have a question for, if it's an easy question, I'll answer it. That'll make me look smart. If it's a hard question, I'll pretend to answer it. I'll pass it over to John. He'll answer it, and then we'll both look smart. So what's your question?
Well, I probably ought to go right to John then, Greg.
good idea.
I have a practice that's predominantly litigation, and when we get into a litigation project, we will have thousands of documents. And the scanner that I have in the office just doesn't come close to the task. What scanner would you recommend that is, reasonably priced, that is a high speed scanning and can maybe place documents directly into the files that are in the directories you need on your hard drive, and just, put the stack on there at night and come in the next morning and everything's where you want it to be?
Well, probably need more time than we have on the podcast to get into a real detailed discussion of different, specific scanning systems that are out there in the market. But David, tell me a little bit more about your situation. Would you be doing the scanning, or do you have somebody administratively that will be doing the scanning?
Well, a little of both. Depends on the project. I quite often do it myself. If it's a small stack, if it's going to be a huge project, I'd certainly like to be able to give it to someone else to do.
Yeah, okay. Well, you kind of, in terms of broad categories of scanning solutions out there, you have, on one hand, you have the multifunction copier, scanner, fax machine device. And those are popular with a lot of tax and accounting professionals because, you know, it seems like a real value because you're bundling that functionality into one device.
Well, see, that's kind of what I have now, and it seems kind of slow because it's, you know, built to do everything, and so maybe as a scanner it's not the best because it's built to do everything.
It's also not a very good fax and not a very good printer, but it's all of them.
Yeah, all of them. It's great, but individually, maybe not great.
Yeah, so the next point I wanted to make is that what you really would want to look at for the kind of volume you're talking about for your litigation engagements would be a high-speed, what we would call a dedicated sheet feed scanner. Fujitsu, just as one manufacturer that I've had a lot of good experience with, has a whole series of them in the sense of price levels and performance levels, and you can kind of look at that relative term you call, expensive, because it's different. That's a different threshold for everybody, but they have a whole line of those types of scanners, and we call them dedicated because they're designed to plug directly into a PC, and then depending upon what kind of document management software solution you might be using, you can get some very sophisticated capabilities in how the scanner will then take the document and scan it into an electronic image, but also do some cleanup on it. Cleanup, for example, would be like to delete blank pages. So you don't have to, if you have some pages that are two-sided and some are just single-sided, the software that would come with a Fujitsu-type scanner that I'm referring to would actually drop off those blank pages for you. You don't have to go through and find them yourself. It'll scan them in, but then it'll take a second look and say, oh, that's a blank page. We don't need it. Or it may see that you have some pages in sideways, and it'll turn them right side up, go from landscape to portrait or vice versa.
It also dispels.
But it would actually try to look at the second page to see if there's something there, though, the back side?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. These things also do, when you're talking about those special services, most of the manufacturers, Fujitsu and Canon, I know for sure, and a bunch of the rest of them, use a product under the hood from Abbeysoft, and another competitor to them is VRS. Kodak's got their product called Virtual Rescan, and they do despeckling to get rid of little dots. They'll do deskewing, so if one happens to be just a little crooked, they do all those things, and they're especially valuable with Jen. You call them dedicated. I call them production scanners. I think we both mean the same thing, but these are 75 and 90 plus pages per minute. And go anywhere from 100 to 600 DPI, I suppose. Good solid stuff. One of the ones that I'm particularly familiar with is the Canon DR7580 is a great product, kind of in that space. And the Fujitsu, I don't have that model number of the Fujitsu one that I like right here. Do you? Do you have a Fujitsu number?
I think it's like a 4500. I was going to try to pull it up while we were talking here, but if you go to the Fujitsu website or if you go to like one of the distributors such as CDW, they'll list them all there, and they do a good job of showing you the spec sheets for each of them and the pages per minute as Greg's referring to and the resolution quality and other functionality that they offer.
Yeah, it's the 5900 is the one that I've seen firms using. Works nice and solid, but it's a very high end machine. You're talking about spending a lot of money. But the most important thing is that software. Under the hood, you don't have to go buy an expensive document management system to get that software. I mean, you can go buy Abbeysoft and you can go buy VRS all by yourself and just use it on your own, right?
That's correct. Yes, and if you do some thorough research when you're shopping for a scanner, a lot of times they'll bundle those packages like the VRS. They'll bundle with the scanner, so you get kind of a two for the price of one in terms of the scanner functionality, the physical hardware, and then that VRS or Abbey software that Greg's referring to do the cleanup. The other thing, David, I just would point out is being that you're talking about litigation type engagements, I'm going to make an assumption that your source documents could come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. And so
that's true.
You'd want to take a look to make sure that you get a scanner where the sheet feeder can allow you to put in a stack of paper documents that are of different size and shape. And you know, the higher quality scanners will accommodate that. And they'll what'll happen is, let's say you have like a series of bank deposit slips that are, you know, long and narrow. It'll crop it when it brings it into your scanned image. It'll crop it so that you're not looking at like a photocopy of a deposit slip on top of a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. It'll crop it so on your screen you just see the image, the actual size of that deposit slip.
So David, I hopefully that answers your question, and we appreciate you joining us and listening. Tell all your friends, and we look forward to having you on another one of our podcasts sometime in the future. Thanks so very much.
Well, it certainly gives me some places to look. Thank you very much for your info.
Yeah. Okay.
You're welcome, David.
So, thanks to David. I have another question, so that, you know, you can as a listener, you can feel free to join us, and we'll put you on, and you can ask your question. Alternatively, you can call our voicemail box, and that's 800-456-0864. The extension is 2106. Again, 800-456-0864, extension 2106, and just record your message. Keep it a little short because I don't want to have to listen to two of them if they're way too long. It's a little bit tiresome, but ask your question and we'll try it. Alternatively, just drop us an email. Address is on the website. And Bill Smurl from Columbia, South Carolina, actually did that. John, I'm going to read you his question, and we'll take that one and then kind of wrap up. Bill's question is, I am a member of NSA and therefore a subscriber to the NSA Technology Advisor. I have a small franchised accounting and tax practice. I'm in the initial planning stages of going paperless. I'd like your input on a few areas in the process. First, would you give me a suggestion for or point me to a good source for file and folder naming conventions? Second, would you consider the Fujitsu line of scanners to be a preferred choice? Thanks for your time in what I'm sure is a busy schedule. Well, it is busy, Bill, but it's not too busy for questions, because that's why we're busy. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So thanks for taking the time to contact us. I'll take your second question on the Fujitsu line. I think John just answered that question about 3 or 4 minutes ago, saying that he's had excellent luck with it. I have a Fujitsu scan snap on my desk, and I like it a lot. There's a Canon outside my door, and that's a wonderful machine. So there's a lot of good machines out there. Fujitsu is certainly a good one. John, you notice I took the easy part of that. So I'll
appreciate that, Greg.
Give you the hard part, which really isn't hard, but there. Give Bill a couple of pointers on the file and folder naming conventions, and he's obviously going to do document management the way so many practitioners do. It's the cheap way, but that's not necessarily the wrong way. It's the cheap way. Just do it using Windows Explorer and dropping files into folders. He wants to know how to do that, how to name it, what kinds of things should he be thinking about.
Okay, well, we can certainly tackle that, and in fact, that's the issue that we're seeing as a driving force for a lot of the smaller practitioners to kind of look up and say, yeah, maybe I do need to get into a document management solution, because as we're all putting more and more files on our drives and creating more directories and subdirectories and then the file names, we're realizing that it's getting to be more and more difficult to manage all those. And so, you know, in terms of a short term, yeah, there's some things you can do to organize those folders a little bit more effectively. Not sure what you're doing today, Bill, but what we find in most firms is the primary order typically is by client name or client number. that just because that's intuitive for people to say, okay, I'm working on ABC company or I'm working on David Jones' tax return. I want to look for him. And then once I'm in there, then I'll deal with finding my way through all the files over the years that I have for David. So that's a pretty common approach, is to organize your file folders by client name. And perhaps if you have a really large number of clients, you may want to put them into buckets. Like maybe you have a folder for A, simply called folder A, and then when you open that, you get all your A clients and your B, all your B-named clients, not in terms of quality of clients, but in terms of the names of the clients themselves. So that decision would depend upon just how many clients you have overall. If we're talking about just a few hundred, you may find it easy enough just to keep them all in one directory, sequenced by their names alphabetically. Then from there, you got to decide the two approaches within that folder for the client is, do I then want to have a folder for each year, each engagement year, or do I want to have a folder for the type of file that I'm storing there? And so I've seen it both ways. Some firms say, no, I want to go to the client, and then within the client, I want to look at my folder that says tax, and then my folder that says correspondence, and my folder that says maybe accounting. And then within those folders, they might further create folders for each of the years. And the problem you have then is that when you want to purge those files off, you got to figure out, well, how do I go in? Do I have to go into each client and each type of folder for each client and then say I want to delete the 1995 folder, or do I just get lazy and say just leave it all out there? Which, frankly, is I think what most practitioners end up doing. The problem there is you have some issues with your document retention policy and keeping that information hanging around longer than you should. So as you get into those kinds of decisions about how to design your folder structure, that's where I tell you, particularly for the smaller practitioners, that's where you're going to see some of the real benefits for even a low-cost document management or file management type system, because that's what they're designed to do, is make that whole process of organizing and retrieving your files much easier.
Well, John, I appreciate that answer, and I'm sure that's gonna help Bill Smurl on his way to figuring out what to do. Sounds to me like we could probably expand that maybe next month. As you talked about that, you know, that low cost thing, can we expand that next month and kind of talk about you know, last year when you did the reviews, you did document storage, and then the next month you did document management. So there's kind of a distinction between those two. Can we spend some time next month and talk about that? Because that's really the big division, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good next step in our podcast, Greg, because we can help our listeners to really get a better sense of what the market has to offer in terms of different levels of solutions and solutions that are designed for different types of practices. And that's definitely a good place for us to start our next podcast.
Okay, so we'll talk about document storage and document management, and we'll talk about, I assume we're going to end up talking about vertical solutions and horizontal solutions too, because there's a lot of different approaches over on that side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, that'll be a great topic for next time. And next time is actually the 15th of February, so day after Valentine's. You could spend Valentine's with your wife, John, and then the day after you and I can get together. Does that sound fair?
That sounds wonderful, Greg.
Sounds like a better idea to me too. So we're doing that at 9:30 a.m. Central. So if you're listening, you got a little time that day. You'd like to just pop us on and listen while you review tax returns or something, that'd be fine. If you've got a question, you can feel free to, you know, to jump on the line and call and ask the question, and we'll go from there. Meanwhile, John, we are a little bit over time, as most of them happen to be. So I want to thank you a lot for joining us, and thank you a lot for your dedication to the profession and helping everybody get paperless. I've got to confess, though, my notes here are for today were actually on paper. I apologize. You'll have to break me of that.
Okay, we'll work on that. Well, yeah, I'd like to thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this podcast series. And again, I think we've got a lot of good, useful information for our listeners to take back to their office and help them, as you say, make that paperless journey.
Okay, this is Greg LaFollette. This is the conclusion of Episode 1 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. This was recorded on January 11th, 2008, with my guest, John Higgins. I'm Greg LaFollette for the CPA Technology Advisor and Intersection Live. Have a great day, and we'll see you next month.
That wraps up this edition of Document Management for Accountants to Go. Join Greg and John again next month for more insight and advice on document management issues. This has been a podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting.